Hello, Devlin Bishop here with you, and welcome to another edition of Devlin's Pirate Radio Show. How are you doing? I'm doing pretty good. In fact, I'm really inspired today to do a podcast. Now, I'm not saying that the last, 130-some-odd podcasts I haven't been inspired. But usually when I do a podcast, I usually set time, or if I have a co-host, I arrange time. And so I could be doing it when I have a co-host, I could be doing it like, afternoon, night, because, I work around their schedules. But when I podcast, and there, I won't lie, there are some times when I podcast where I'm like, oh, shit, I forgot to podcast this week. And I don't usually like to miss that much. I'm at the point now with my podcast that I figure I have enough back library that if I miss one, I don't worry about it anymore. I just think, okay, you know what? I just don't feel up to it. The last week I missed an episode because I just was very sluggish. I had a rough night, and I was feeling a little sick. And so I decided. Now, if you're saying, well, that's not very professional of him, well, that's okay. Because the week before, I really just didn't mentally feel like doing a podcast. And I actually pushed myself to do one. It was just like late Sunday night, and I decided, you know what? I'm going to do a podcast. I have some things I want to talk about, really not in the best of spirits, and I actually thought it went pretty well. But today it was weird because usually I do my podcasts, if I'm by myself, I try to do them Saturday or Sunday, but mostly Sunday because, I like to get them to Corda for Monday or Tuesday so she can get it ready for when we publish them on Thursdays. I was off today. Work gave me a Friday off, and I woke up, and I had a lot of things I wanted to talk about, and I just grabbed the recorder and said, you know what, before I do anything else, well, I did have breakfast, but, normally I get up early, and I send out some emails, answer some emails, and then other times, and then, I do my Mondo Nostalgia if I have time or get ready for work or whatever I'm doing. But today I just decided I want a podcast. I'm in the mood to podcast. So what that means for this show, I have no idea. But first of all, I want to pat myself on the back. And I don't do that too often. Well, I probably do, but I always say I don't. But today I'm going to actually reach around and pat myself on the back. I think I've done that. It's funny when you think you've never done something on the radio, and then when you're doing it, yeah, you can hear it. And if it does sound like skin to skin, yes, I am shirtless right now. So if anybody's turned on by that, thank you in advance for that. That's the wonderful thing about podcasting. I don't have to dress up. Well, usually when my co-host, depending on the co-host, some of the co-hosts, I'm, they'll allow me to be as loose or relaxing as I want. But today I'm just very loose and just anxious to talk. So anxious, I didn't even put a shirt on. Whether I've got pants on, I'm going to leave that up to your imagination. And thank you again if that turned you on in any kind of way. Anyhow, the reason I'm patting myself on the shoulder is I was on Facebook, and it was actually Corda that said something popped up and said that we've been doing this for 3 years. And then I did the math and realized, yeah, 2015 is when my life was falling apart. I wasn't sure if I had any creative outlets left. And I said, what a spectacular time to do a podcast. And so, yeah, it's been 3 years. And it's funny. When my birthday, when I turned 50 this year, I obsessed about it so long that when it finally came, I didn't really want a big celebration. But I feel 3 years on a podcast is worth a celebration. So I'm very happy to be celebrating that with you. I've got 130-some-odd episodes on YouTube and iTunes, and I'm very proud of that. And I think if anybody who's listened to my show, or if you go back and look at it, I talk about so many different things, from like depression to just kind of little weird comedy bits I did, or or talking about old TV shows or new TV shows or movies, and it's been a wonderful ride. It's I to be honest with you, I think I've told you more than one time, they say that, most people give up podcasts within 6 or 7 episodes, and that's even like a long career. Maybe they just don't find their voice, or they revamp it, or they just drop it altogether. And here now, looking at 3 years and 130 episodes, and I'm not done yet. I still have lots to say. I still hope to have some new co-hosts. I hope to have some old co-hosts coming in. And yeah, I'm so proud of what I've done. And I used to think, when I first started this, I wanted to get, of course, I say, if I have one viewer, that would be great. But there's always that dreamer in you that hopes that you have, thousands of viewers and you go viral and stuff. But you know what? After 3 years, I'm just happy when one person clicks play. And Corda has heard everyone. And I know Superfan Jen has listened to a lot. I know she's a busy lady now, but she tries to catch up and stuff, and I like that. And you listening right now, thank you for pressing play. And I know I talk about a wide variety of subjects, and a lot of people don't like that. They prefer listening to podcasts, that are all like about sports or movies or, sex or whatever your interests are. But I like the fact that I can talk about a lot of that. Okay, if you're a sports nut, you probably won't hear too much of that. I think I've talked a little bit about sports in the past, but anyhow, I like that I talk about little things, movies. I talk about, how if I had a bad week, I talk about like shows that I performed in. I love, when I have co-hosts over and talk about many different things and stuff. So, yeah, I'm not going to sneeze at 3 years. That's pretty impressive to me. And the fact that I'm still going and I hope to do at least 130 more, if not more. I'd love to be an old man doing these, well, I remember back in the day. So this episode is kind of a, it's not a celebration episode, but I wanted to kick it off talking about that. But I am going to talk about some very different things today. I'm going to talk about, basically some people that I was a big fan of, and I realize, I don't know, it's going to be kind of a retrospect. I'm going to talk about lots of things of the past, but kind of relay them how it'll talk about the present, and it'll also talk about, hopefully where things will go in the future. And I'm not talking just my podcast, I'm just talking about things in general. Well, you'll get to it. I don't want to blow my load really early. And then I'm also going to do a review of Black Panther. I finally got to see it. I've been wanting to see it, but it came at a really busy time. I was doing some shows, how we first met. I had a lot of personal stuff going on. I finally got to see it. And so I'm going to tell you what I think about that. The movie's doing incredibly well. It's a Marvel movie, so no surprise it's doing well, but it's also, a very important movie to the African American community. And not just to that, I don't want to downplay that because it's a very important thing, like young black people have got like a hero now to look up to. But it's not just that. It's now there's going to be, people of other ethnicities and races that now can look up to a hero. And maybe not see color, and I see a little white child or Chinese or thing saying, "Oh, I like Black Panther," and it's not about white or thing, but it's nice. And so I'll talk about that movie too, and then I'm gonna reminisce a bit. They've been knocking down buildings in my city left and right, and they knocked down a building that really jarred me when I saw it, and I'm going to talk about that later in the show too, and have some great memories about me and my mom and the place. It's the Kresge's building. For anybody who does not know Hamilton, you probably don't know what that is, but I'm going to do a little reminiscing because that's what us old guys do best, reminiscing, And I actually might tell some stories that you actually may never have heard. Surprise, surprise, because I do know I have repeated things. The last thing I will say about my anniversary show is when I got into this, as I said, I kind of, you want all these thousands of viewers, but I realized that, it's a busy time and things just don't happen, and I don't have a lot of polish and pizzazz. But I realized that I'm kind of now making these, and I probably said this before because I told you I'm an old guy now, I can repeat things. But one of the things I like is that I'm actually, for the people who press play right now, thank you again. It means the world to me. But I thought I'm actually leaving my voice behind. And, God forbid that anything happened to me, like, maybe 30, 40 years down the road, that's okay. But I'm leaving a voice for the people I'm leaving behind. And I'm going to talk about, as always, just anything. So, if somebody misses me when I'm gone, they can look at my segments and say, oh, he's going to talk about movies. I want to hear that. That'll make me smile. Or, wow, he's going to talk about life and what he's learned from it. Maybe I can still learn from this. So some ways I'm leaving a time capsule for the people I've left behind. Or, I think maybe, who knows, wouldn't it be great? Like, Bob Ross, the painting guy on PBS that used to do all these lovely little mountains and the little birds and, let's be rebellious now. He's wonderful and very peaceful. And he's actually like on t-shirts now. I have a pop vinyl of him. He's just become this big thing, but he never even got to see the success he had. So I'm thinking, when I'm long gone, some person who never even known me, like, well, who's this joker on the cover of this, thing? Press play. And that, maybe they discover me and, oh, I want to hear more. Hey, a boy can dream, okay? So I'm not, claiming I'm releasing art, but in some ways I am. I'm leaving my voice. And that's big. That's big. I remember a friend. I used to do this show called Devlin Monologues, and I had a friend come up to me, and he said, "Boy, I wish I could be as open and honest as you. You just like let it out there." And then when I actually started recording my show, he said, "I listened to a couple of your shows, and now you're taking your emotions and stuff mainstream. You're actually like putting it out there for the entire world. Now, not the whole world will listen to it, but you never know when somebody's going to hit play that absolutely does not know you and finds comfort in your voice. Yeah, you'll get probably at least five more that are going to be like, what a knob." Sorry. I cracked myself up. I don't use the word knob enough. Yeah, it's not the 80s anymore. Don't be such a knob, But anyhow, it makes me really laugh. And so, let's hope we get three more years out of this, maybe even more. Let's hope that, I'm still making these as long as I can. And we will see. And as I said, got a lot to talk about today. Now, I know I was very vague about I'm gonna start things off, but I had a lot of heroes in my life. A lot of you who listen know I've talked about Olivia Newton-John. I think I've talked about Henry Rollins. I just have so many role models, and they're not all celebrities. I have real life role models. I'm mostly my friends in that category because I surround myself with people that I like because they're real. And even with my celebrities, I like them because they're real. A lot of people say, "Why do you like Shia LaBeouf?" And I'm like, well, he's a good actor, like really great actor. I think he can really bring it home. But I also like that he's real. He makes mistakes and he's a little goofy. He's a little wonky. He hasn't conformed totally. In fact, he hasn't informed at all. So, that's why I like people like this. But, I used to have an obsession with James Dean. I used to have an obsession with Jim Morrison. And one of the people I had an obsession with, which I can't remember if I ever talked about it, but is Andy Warhol. I might even be saying his name wrong, but I actually went through a phase where I was really into Andy Warhol. I started watching some movies that he had his name on, Andy Warhol Presents. And I loved them because they were just so out there. He has some movies, Trash, Heat, and oh, what's the other one? There's like three that star Joe D'Alessandro. And they're just almost like improv things. Trash, I think, is the other one. And I got obsessed with these movies. I also watched Andy Warhol's Frankenstein and Andy Warhol's Dracula, which are some really great cult films, but they are not for everyone. In fact, I'd love to show them for people who aren't, and they'd just be like, "What the hell are you making me watch?" But I also got into Andy Warhol's life, and although, I know he was a gay man, but he actually came off a little bit more asexual, but he did have relationships and some long-term ones too. But I liked a lot about him, like his, how he used to like have a group of friends that he found beautiful. And some of them were actually beautiful people. He also like embraced, trans women, like gender breaking people, And I remember he used to have the factory where he'd just have people hang out. And most of the time they were getting high and he's just coming up with things. That's not really me, but I thought it was interesting that he would just be like, he was the guy, like, oh my God, Andy Warhol wants me to hang out with him. And he was like apparently a really quiet guy, and every once in a while you'd be lucky enough to get a nice conversation with him, but apparently he was a bit of a douche too. So I think I'm drawn to that too. But anyhow, I realized that there was a time that I really wanted to be Andy Warhol. I wanted to create. I wanted to create. I wanted to kind of have a group of friends that were their own individuals, and I kind of wanted to like introduce people to like film. I wanted to introduce people to like music and just weird little things like that. And it wasn't until recently that I really just discovered that I actually may have kind of succeeded in that in different ways. And that's good because I don't want to be like Andy Warhol ripoff in any way, but I think I may have covered all those bases. But, I'm a little slow to study sometimes, but I think it happened. The picture I'm using for my cover, I recently did a great show called The 6 Minute Memoir, and I decided I wanted to wear something different. So I, was looking at Value Village, not while I was working, but afterwards, and I found a really nice white top. And I thought, you know what? I very seldom wear white because I spill. And I decided, let's be daring. And I remember I have this gorgeous necklace. And I've been wearing a lot of jewelry, bracelets and stuff. I've always wore bracelets, but I've been wearing a lot. And that's something back to my Corey Hart days, another person I idolized for a while. And he used to wear all those bangles. And I'd be happy to wear one. But back in those days, I was so like anal and confused about myself. I figured if I wear two bracelets on one hand, people are going to think I'm gay and beat the crap out of me. But now I'm like, yeah, whatever, paint my fingernails and stuff like that. So when I was looking at this picture, I asked Mike to take the picture for me because there's not many times. Like usually when I get dressed up, I go and I say, oh, I look pretty good, and that's about it. But there are times when I put something on and I said, you know what? I really love how I look right now. And I'm gonna get Mike to take a picture of me. Yes, sometimes I can be a little conceited, boys and girls, but please give that to me. So anyhow, I was thinking about it, and I kind of have succeeded being Andy Warhol. The only thing I need to do is, well, I don't even have to do that. I was gonna say create more, but honestly, I've created over 130 podcasts. Andy would be proud. I've created improv shows. I work on a review show with my best friend Damien. I've, did a radio show that not many people listen to, but it made a lot of people happy with my friend Dave back in the day. And, it just I realize, okay, no, I have done the creating. I'd like to get into more. I was a poet, I read some of my, not so great poetry that I actually kind of liked reading again. And I've talked about thought about getting into more of that again. Just because my overthinking head works overtime now, I thought maybe I could use it to my advantage again. Anyhow, yeah, and so I thought, yeah, so I've done the creative process. Then I realized that I have such a diverse group of friends, from the closest ones to the ones, that are kind of in my outer circle, but I still think are very dear to me. They're very diverse people. And I love that about them. And the closest people to me are totally in originals. Like whether you're talking about my partner Mike, or Corda, or Damien, or the Daves I know, my nephew Jonathan. They're so diverse and different. So diverse and different that some of the friends, I'm like, I get why we're friends. We are so much alike. And then other ones are like, how are we friends? But because we love each other, I don't question it too much because I figure, well, we do have enough in common and we share each other's interests and stuff. And then I have some, friends that, come from all walks of my life. And I realize, okay, I got the Andy Warhol thing. I'm surrounded by interesting people that I love. And they're people that I just find a beauty in, whether it's physical or inner. And I just get a respect for them and a love. And I think I've inspired people. I've had a lot of movie nights and shared movies with people. Even still today, I meet people that, my friend Josh, who went off to England. I used to show him movies all the time. He loved cult movies, and I told him, okay, all the cult movies you're saying are newer ones, which is great, but I'm going to show you some of the older ones, and got to show him some amazing films. And, my friends Chris and Alex are people that I absolutely adore, and we got together when I showed them Showgirls, and they were just like, yeah, show us more of that kind of stuff. And they're shocked that I actually show them a good one every once in a while, too. But then we talk about it, which is fun too. We get to talk about, this is a bad movie, but it's one of my all-time favorites. Then I remember, I said that Andy used to do like, film nights and show classic films and stuff. When I was in my early, late teens and 20s, and maybe even to my 30s a bit, I used to have movie nights where my friends would come over, and I always like invited as many people as I could. And sometimes I had to make sure they were right for the group because they were like, some people might come and think, well, what is going on? But I remember my movie nights, and I still have a friend named Darcy in England said that he loved my movie nights. Because I literally would do like the trailers in between, like for upcoming movies we'd be watching. I'd do, if I could get some VHS, drive-in intermission. Anybody who knows me knows I'm obsessed with the let's go to the lobbies and stuff. Well, come on. If you listen to my podcast, my breaks now are pretty much that. I don't pick them out though. I'll be honest. Corda does that, but she knows that I get a giggle when she finds a really good one that I haven't even heard, and it's great. And so these movie nights became, sometimes we'd have double bills. Sometimes I'd throw in a TV show. We'd watch an old vintage cartoon. And I realized I did those days. And here's another thing that you guys might not know about me. And maybe you don't want to, but hey, I haven't thought about this in probably over 20 years. I actually went through a phase where I actually put music to silent films. And I'd actually have premieres where people would come down. I remember doing like, oh, I can't remember I think it was called The Rain or something. It was an old black and white one. I did a couple of other ones that I was so proud of. And like, I'm not a musician by any standards, but I would put, pop songs. And I would run it. I'd have like videotapes. And I remember I would be up all night just recording the soundtrack to this, then pausing it and then trying to find another song that fits with it. I kind of got inspired when Giorgio Moroder did like a new score for Metropolis. That's why I kind of avoided doing Metropolis, because he had already done it. And yeah, I haven't thought about that in years, and that's something Andy would have so done. And so I'd have people over. I even remember having, Korda's mother come over to watch it. My biggest ambition that I did was I actually put a pop contemporary history of rock music to Fantasia, because I just love the visual images. And I think that's where I actually started getting my love for cinematography and stuff like that in it, where I'd literally like, oh, okay, this is in need of a Beatles song, or, I need to put something here. Oh, some Rolling Stones maybe, or, Michael Jackson or whatever I was feeling this scene would have. And it was wonderful. So, sadly, I don't have any of them anymore. I got rid of a lot of my tapes and forgot all about that I used to do this. And yeah, oh man. And I remember the passion. I remember the passion of being up all night trying to find the right songs for the right imagery. And yeah, wow, it's mind blowing when that pops into my head. And I've kind of also, in recent years, a couple of years ago, a New Year's was coming around, and anybody who knows me knows I absolutely hate New Year's. That's probably why you've never seen a New Year's special on my show, but I absolutely hate New Year's. It's just, I don't know, to celebrate 1 minute, and everybody talks about how it being a new, refreshing era, and you get a new, fresh start. Well, you can do that about any day. And to be honest with you, my New Year is usually fall, when we go from the summer to that fall period. To me, that's like, maybe it's because I, used to think of that with school, but it just makes me think of my renewedness and let's do this. So, we didn't have much planned, so Mike and I decided we were going to just have Korda and her daughter Erin over. And we decided, well, we like to dance and party, so we decided we're going to play videos and just, goof around, eat junk food, and dance if we wanted to. And Mike and I realized that when we moved our couch to the other side of the room, we actually have, for an apartment, we have a pretty good sized dancing space. So we just did this once, and we had so much fun, we started doing it again. And then we'd start adding more people. And we don't get a lot of people. We don't do a lot of people, because again, this is, when I tell people, I have video dance parties, they're intrigued by it. I think a couple are like, what the hell is that? That sounds like horrible, like the Much Music dance parties. But they've actually gotten to the point of being elaborate. We put like lights. We've actually bought lights to make it more. We've had bubble machines. We've done like everything. We take requests now, so I get to put together the playlist beforehand. Lovely. Korda got me something called Roku. I say something, everybody else is like, everybody knows what Roku is. I didn't when I got it. I remember she gave it to Mike and I, and we're like, this is a wonderful gift. She could tell on her face. I don't know what it is. She said, trust me, when we set it up, you'll like it. And I've found so many things, uses for it. It's great. But anyhow, we started building these video dance parties, and we only get a handful of people, but every once in a while I'm like, I'm gonna ask this person. If they don't come, that's fine. I'm gonna just keep asking. And when people come, they seem to have a good time. In fact, I won't go into details, but it was just kind of like a random, let's all just dance. And like you will never see me move for a full like 4 or 5 hours, whatever we go for. I'm usually up on the dance floor. I actually forget we put out food, and I snack in the between them, like literally while I'm eating, I'm grab some cheese and crackers or some sausage or something. And yeah, that didn't sound, it wasn't supposed to sound dirty. But anyhow, yeah, I love it. It's just a great night to just let everything go. And I've had some people that they look forward to them, and we do like 3 or 4 a year. Now, I would love to invite just anybody, but it's almost like Andy Warhol, where he'd just pick and choose who's allowed to come to the factory. And I'm not trying to be a snob. It's just I think there's some people who like the sound of it, but when they come to it, I think they would be like, oh, this is kind of lame, you know? Because a lot of us aren't big drinkers. I allow drinking, but you have to bring it yourself. I don't provide it in any way. And we do have a couple people who like to, you know, just have a few drinks. We don't, you know, get, you know, falling down drunk or anything. But most people are here for the music and the company. And I've had people tell me that they've danced in many places, but they feel comfortable here, safe. The last one we did a after Valentine's Day one that we called the Fire and Ice. And I think that was one of our best because we just let go. We didn't care who was watching because we all knew we were in safe company. Some of these people have just met during the video dance parties and stuff. And yeah, it's just a magical, magical time. And I hope to have more of them. I always joke that, you know, at the last dance party, I was dancing to some song that was like some sexy, you know, song. And I said, oh, this is only going to look better when I'm dancing at 65 years old. And you know what? I really hope I am. I really hope I am because it's just so full of life. And I think that's the key to life is to try to keep that young spirit, to keep moving and stuff like that. I would love to continue the video dance parties. And hey, if you live by us and say, I think I might be into that, don't be afraid. Just like I say, if you ever want to co-host, send me an email. If I think we have some chemistry or find some unique things to talk about, I'm not afraid of people soliciting themselves. In fact, I like it because sometimes it's very hard for me to say, do you want to come to my podcast? I don't know, even saying the words, you know. I know now most people are like, that's awesome, you have a podcast. And, you know, like I did the 6 Minute Memoirs this week, and when I looked at the list, I'm like, three of these people have been co-hosts on my podcast. And I was kind of proud of that. And they even talked about it at the thing, how much fun they had. And it was amazing. I like to still do the video dance parties, and I'm going to keep every time we do one, I sometimes say, okay, that was our last one. Let's end it. And then I start getting like the twitchy leg and stuff. And then I'm like, no, I think we're going to do one to kick off the summer this year and stuff. So, and I like that Mike likes it too. Like Mike likes to, you know, put the table together. He does all the decorations, puts the lights up. He doesn't dance at all, but he's happy when he brings out like food and, you know, we bring out things, you know, whether it's, you know, chips or whether it's like some hot foods or we bring out some fruit, you know, we try different things. And yeah, it's great. And as I said, we were so into one that I know we're going to do more. I also desperately want, I keep trying to bring the movie thing back. I recently was like on online and I thought, would it be weird if I just said, let me know. Like, go on Facebook and say, let me know if you want to see cult films or just crazy, weird ass films that we talk about after. And I would want people to say, yeah, I would like that. But I always am afraid that either one, nobody will answer me, and then I'll just be kind of knocked down and maybe a little blue, or that a lot of people that will answer me. And I'll just be like, oh, this is overwhelming. And then, you know, it becomes a big thing because I'd love to have a whole bunch of people in my apartment watching a really bad movie and then talking about it after and laughing and having a great time. And yeah, and I hope to do that again. I keep buying little things. My sister-in-law Cheryl gave me this wonderful popcorn popper that's very retro looking. And I've even come close to buying like candy racks. So I could go to the dollar store and fill it with chocolate bars so people could come in and say, oh, is this free? And I'd say, yeah, absolutely. You know, grab yourself some gum and stuff. I'm like the nicest guy, but I'm a very poor. You know, I don't make a lot of money, but a lot of times I like to spend it on people and I'm not afraid to like, you know, hey, grab something, you know, and then I think, ah, yeah, maybe I should watch my money a little more. But you know what? It's all about life. So in some ways, I think I have become Andy Warhol, and I know I've inspired a lot of people. I know people who I've shown films to have shown them to other people or introduced them to music. You know, I hear it playing from their own music, or they'll, you know, say, oh, I love this. And sometimes they don't get the credit for it. Like, yeah, my friend Devlin showed me this, but I know, and that's all I really need to know. And I get so many people who tell me, you were my first improv teacher and you're still my favorite one. And that really makes me feel amazing. And quite frankly, I absolutely love that. So in some ways, maybe I've become Andy Warhol. And even when I went to the 6-minute memoir, everybody came up and said, "Oh, are you nervous? Are you nervous?" And as a performer, I always have a little bit of butterflies. I think you should. I think if you hit that point, but I was so feeling the confidence. Maybe it's just how I thought, how good I looked, or I just had a spirit that I was, I knew my story was going to be a little different than everybody else's. And I love that about these nights because everybody has a different story. Mine was more laid back and smaller. But at the end of the night, I had a lot of people saying, "I really loved your story." I actually told the bath bomb story, which is in an episode. I can't remember which number it is. But basically, I talked about, my first experience with bath bombs and how it was supposed to be relaxing and it turned out more stressful. But, it's kind of fun. But I had a lot of people coming up and said, some people talked about travel and stuff, and they said, "I loved all the stories, but I think I loved yours the best." And I asked Corda about it, and I said, "Is it because people could relate to mine more? Not everybody has traveled the world or, dealt with, big issues like divorce or death or something like that. But everybody kind of remembers their first weird experience with something." And it made me feel good that people complimented me on that. And I just liked being out. It really, I didn't want to talk about it, but I've been on a positive high for almost 2 weeks now. And I have to give the credit again to 13 Reasons Why and myself, of course. You got to pat yourself on the back. But the truth of the matter is, when I first watched 13 Reasons Why, a lot of people were afraid that I'd be depressed by it. And I wound up being in a good mood. It lasted for 3 months before I had a big depressional crash. And we won't get into that because this has been a very positive one. But I'm now almost 2 weeks into this. And I'd hate to think that, when we post this, I've crashed. But I'm finding ways to rethink things. And I just recently rewatched 13 Reasons Why with Corda, and it seems like every time I watch this, it makes me learn how to think about all sides of being a human. And it's a wonderful thing, as in, I can see a news story where I see, somebody hurting other people, and I can see the human side of everything. I'm not saying I agree with, the person who hurt somebody, but I have an empathy for them as well because I realize, yeah, they shouldn't have done what they did, but I get why they did what they did from their state of mind. And so, yeah, I'm hoping I'm on a high and I hope I didn't just jinx myself and that the next time I do a podcast, it's like, okay, I'm depressed, But yeah, let's hope this continues, but I'm not also naive. And you know what? Andy Warhol dealt with demons too. So maybe I'm more Andy Warhol than I am. Who knows? Maybe I'll get those cult movie nights back. If you're listening to this and say, "I'd love to come for a, I don't care what kind of movie show, cult, classic, anything." And, meet new people, interesting people. Maybe this is my thing for my next part of the year and stuff like that. Anyhow, I'm finished this side, and I'm gonna take this side like I'm talking on tape. See, I'm finished watching 13 Reasons Why, which is all about cassette tapes, and I'm back into my cassette tape days when I used to do shows on cassettes. No, I meant we're at the halfway point, or well, can't even say that because with these shows, sometimes the beginning can be longer, sometimes the end can be longer. Let's just say it's intermission time. And we're going to crank out one of those great old intermission things that Cord is going to pull out. And we're going to enjoy that. We're going to run, go take a pee break, pause it if you need to do something longer in the bathroom. I can't believe I said that. And, grab a snack, grab a beverage, and join me back here. I'm going to review Black Panther when I come back and talk about memories of Kreskies. And again, if you're not from Hamilton, you're probably not going to get my nostalgia, but you'll get the feel of it because everybody's got the feelings I'm going to be talking about on the next half. Anyhow, see you then. Welcome back. Oh, he got me in the middle of a drink. Sorry. Well, not really. I actually pressed play way before. I thought I'd be finished my drink by then, but I didn't. Boy, I really talked on that first half. You can tell when I get inspired. I'm not looking at the clock, and then I look and I go, holy minute, that was almost 40 minutes. Anyhow, hopefully you don't mind too much. If you're listening to the second half, obviously you're not. Anyhow, I got to see Black Panther finally, and I'm very glad I did. Usually when Marvel movies come out, I usually see them within the first or second week, and this was like the third or fourth week that I finally got to see it. I'd just been busy and just had no time, but I anxiously wanted to see it because the Marvel Universe has been terrific. Haven't seen a real clinker yet. Obviously, I have my favorites over some that I didn't think were as great, but none of them have failed me at all. And Black Panther, I can honestly say, continues in that tradition. I think it was a very incredible movie. I understand its historical importance because, I know people will say white privilege, but, I'm sorry, I can't help how I was born. But I understand that, kids, like to look up to people of all things, but it's nice when like African American kids can now look up and say, hey, we have ourselves a hero now. And they've had heroes in the past in the Marvel Universe and maybe even in other movies, like a Blade or, lots of other things. But, they were few and far between. So Black Panther coming out as the star of the movie and seeing so many, African American actors and actresses is just beautiful and mind-blowing. Although I feel a little racist talking about it due to the fact that I should be talking about these as just actors and actresses. The fact that, we're putting so much emphasis on this, but I get it. I get it. And I know, coming from other terms, it is good. I like Black Panther a lot. I saw it finally with a group, and I think I might have been the one who liked it the most in our group. I think everybody kind of liked it, but I actually thought it had some really wonderful things. In no way is it a perfect film, and I know there's kind of a movement right now that if you say anything negative about Black Panther, you're a racist or you don't understand. But I don't think, there's very few movies that I think don't have any flaws, and this movie does have some flaws, and because I do consider myself a movie reviewer, and I'm taking it more seriously now that I do like the Damien and Devlin show, I am going to talk about them. And if people want to point at me and say, oh, you don't like it because black people are in it, then you don't know me very well. Black Panther is an amazing film. Chadwick Boseman plays Black Panther, and the first thing I have to say is director Ryan Coogler, I hope that's right, I don't have my cheat sheets in front of me, but I believe that's right, has done a great job creating this world. Wakanda is just an amazing world. It's a kind of a hidden city in Africa that they kind of hide from the world. And they're doing some incredible things in technology. And even when I was watching it, I was like, why are they keeping this hidden? And then I realized that that's kind of a big part of the story. And it's actually a really important part of the story. Because this movie, maybe a hero movie, but it's like one of the other Marvel movies. Sometimes they have other things going on. And this has a social agenda. But not once did I feel like it was bashing me over the head with it, because I was actually invested in the characters and the story. When they actually get to it, is actually pretty good, and I like it, and it deals with a whole bunch of the social issues. As I said, I liked Black Panther a lot. I did have some issues. I found it to be kind of slow at the beginning. Michael B. Jordan, who plays one of the villains, the other one is Andy Serkis, they both do incredible jobs as the villains. But Michael B. Jordan has worked with Ryan Coogler in all three of his movies, Fruitvale Station, Creed, and now Black Panther. Sorry, I'm fighting hiccups here. And you can tell that this director knows how to bring out the best of Michael B. Jordan, because Chadwick Boseman, to me, was good. Like, I actually liked him when he made his debut in Civil War. I thought, oh, I can't wait to see A Whole World. But when I saw him in the whole movie, I just felt that he was so laid back. And I thought it was almost a little monotone. And I felt that every actor or actress that was working with him was kind of like carrying him through the scenes because they were so filled with energy. And honestly, it was kind of like, oh my God, like, sure, he looked amazing. He looked great in the Black Panther suit. He looked great out of the Black Panther suit, I won't lie. But it was really, to me, the energy of all the other actresses and actors that really built him up. Now, I was actually watching a review of this movie by one of my favorite reviewers, Chris Stuckman. I'll give a shout out. And he actually said that, actually, I don't know if it was, maybe it was John Campia. Anyhow, I usually go to Chris Stuckman because he's my favorite. But one of them said that, he's not supposed to be arrogant. He is supposed to be laid back. He's supposed to be, kind of the king. And he's just this regular guy who, does it. And when they said that, it made me think a little bit that maybe, yeah, maybe he did a really good performance. He just played it so laid back that everybody else shone. But in some cases, that's actually a good thing because that shows you that, he's actually helping his supporting characters and stuff. Either way, Chadwick Boseman did a good job. I just found him very monotone, and I want him to be a little bit more charismatic. But as I said, everybody else was. Michael B. Jordan was the standout to me in this movie, and one of Marvel's better villains. I just wish we got a little more of him. He actually does an early scene with Andy Serkis that's really amazing. And it sets it up, and then he disappears for a good chunk of the movie, and you feel it. Like Andy Serkis does a good job kind of holding down the fort until he re-shows up again, but you almost forget that Michael B. Jordan is the actual villain in this movie. And when he shows up again, he just breathes life into this movie. Because as I said, it sort of drags in parts, and I felt that until Michael B. Jordan comes back and we actually get to see what the essence of the story is. Now, I know they set up a lot. They set up Wakanda, they set up all the characters, and I'm glad they did that. Honestly, it's one of those movies that I felt kind of dragged, but I also was like kind of, I don't know what I'd cut out because everything was important to learn about characters, traditions of Wakanda. I loved the ceremony where he is becoming king, and that's not really a spoiler, so anybody just freaked out right now. If you saw Civil War, his dad, leaves the throne, we'll say. And so this is a big part of him taking on, the king of Wakanda. And the ceremony where they, do this fight and on the side of the cliff, I thought looked absolutely amazing. Ryan Coogler did a great job directing this. Not perfect, because I'll get to some of those in a minute, but I liked it. But as I said, Michael B. Jordan, even though they had strong actresses and actors playing all the parts, and Andy Serkis held his part up very well, it was nice to actually see him in a movie and not just him doing screen face capture or body capture, whatever it's called. But when Michael B. Jordan comes up, he's like a shot of adrenaline, kind of like that scene in Pulp Fiction where they put the adrenaline right into your heart to get it to start again, because I feel that he was the essence of this film. And we get a villain that we don't agree with what he does, but in some ways he's actually right. He just goes about it horribly. And I think that's what makes a really good villain, is that we can actually see the good. It's kind of like I said about seeing empathy of all sides. You see that in this movie, but once Michael B. Jordan is back on screen, the story just moves, it picks up the pace, and we get a really interesting story. It's just kind of sad it took so long because I just felt there were moments where I'm just like, God, I don't. And I, as I said, it, there's scenes that I know we need, but I think they could have handled it more. And I think adding Michael B. Jordan more regularly throughout the movie, I think I know what they were going for, so that's fine. Everything in this movie looks wonderful. The CGI had, there was some hit and miss in it, but most of it's positive. Another negative I had was some of the action sequences just seemed like we just need an action sequence in it. There's a part where they go to Korea, and it's actually really cool to see, the casino there and the city. But there's a chase scene in there that goes on a little longer, and the editing is that really choppy, I don't really know what's going on kind of editing. Like, I see a tire, I see this, but I'm really not sure where everything's connected. He does a lot of his scenes. We saw a 2D showing. We didn't get to a 3D one, but a lot of the scenes were muddied because he did a lot of nighttime action scenes. And because some of the suits are all black, like the Black Panther and stuff, really made for a difficult time of me, following, is that Black Panther? Especially, when you get to one of the final fights with Michael B. Jordan and that, their suits are so similar that you're not really sure. I know they did little things with the color schemes to say, but sometimes you're just, and I was thinking, if I was seeing this in 3D, which would darken it even more, I think I'd really be lost, but maybe you never know. Could we? But I thought some of the action sequences weren't handled too well, which I was a little surprised at because Creed has some incredible boxing sequences, and I thought to myself, okay, when it comes to action, we're going to be really fine here. But overall, I really did like Black Panther. I don't say it's one of my favorite ones of the Marvel Universe, and it might be closer to the bottom, but I actually think I liked it more than some of my friends did. I think on a scale of 1 to 5, I would give it a 3. And I think that's still pretty good. I think it succeeded in a lot of places that some of the more loved Marvel films did. Like, I enjoyed thoroughly Thor Ragnarok, but you also know I had a lot of issues with it because of the fact that they kind of turned it into a cartoon. And then, as much as I loved Guardians of the Galaxy, there was a lot of humor in that too. One thing I will give Black Panther is they brought it back to more serious. There is some comedy in it, but it's not in your face comedy. It's more natural. And I think gearing up for not Civil War, but the Infinity War coming up, I think it's good that we have a more serious movie. And I almost said grounded, but this actually deals with, high-tech technology and stuff. That's another thing I had against Black Panther. There were many times that I thought I didn't feel any sense of danger because they could just basically throw a bead and just the weirdest things could happen. I was just thinking, people complain about Superman, but this guy has a suit that basically every time you punch it, it gets stronger and stronger, and they could literally like just create things out of the air, and I just thought it was cool to watch. But I just felt you can almost do anything, and like I didn't feel that anybody was ever going to die or have any kind of peril. Anyhow, Black Panther, great movie. You've probably seen it already because you're much loyal to Marvel fans than I. As I said, I will be there first week for Infinity War, even though they keep changing the date. I got to make sure I get tickets so I am for the first week. And definitely check it out. And probably still in theaters because it's doing amazingly well. And I'm very happy it is, just because I do know its cultural significance in the world. And it is an important movie to get out there. And it's great to see. So I'm going to wrap up this episode with some memories. I'm now at that age where I go downtown and they've knocked down another building or they've closed another business. It's just amazing how much I look around and I'm like, oh, that's gone now too. Or I see a business saying, yeah, we've done this for 30 years. We're going to call it wraps. But just a couple of months ago, I actually went and there's an old building in the downtown area of Hamilton called the old Kresge's building because there was a department store named Kresge's there. And I went. And I literally was there on the day that they were starting to demolish it. And I remember being on the bus and having a lump in my throat because I had so many wonderful memories there. I remember going there with my mom and I remember seeing it close. And now here I am seeing it, get knocked down. And you'd think I'd be used to it now because I had a moment like when I first moved away from my family neighborhood, It was actually the same month they were starting to demolish my high school. And it was kind of bittersweet because I went to the farewell of that and, didn't see many people, but I did see some old teachers and stuff. And yeah, it was weird. And then every time I drive by now, it's like it's not there anymore. And I remember me, Mike and I were actually driving and one day, and it was a couple of years later, and we just turned the corner and suddenly I just saw this empty spot where my old elementary school, Prince of Wales, was. And they had knocked that down too. And I didn't know I'd always heard rumors they were thinking about it, but just one day, the building that you went to school from, like grade one to eight is gone. And it was just, I remember being freaked out by it. So when I lost the Kresge's building, and I knew it was going to happen because after Kresge's went, it became the Delta Bingo, and that was running for a while. But when they closed the Delta Bingo, it was just like an eyesore there. So I'm sure it's going to look all pretty once they get something up in it. But it kind of made me want to reminisce because I sometimes forget that I like to reminisce on podcasts, and I hate that people tune in and it's like, oh, he's preaching again. He's bitching about something in the world, and I don't want people to think that because there are moments I like to just talk about the past and stuff. And again, as I'm keeping this as a time capsule, someday somebody might listen to this and go, oh, I remember the old Kresge's building, or they might listen to it and say, well, that sounds a lot like a building in my neighborhood too. And I remember my mom and I used to go to Kresge's a lot. We would go, and Kresge's was kind of like a Zellers or something. It was like not a big end department store, but just kind of like a giant Tiger or something like that. And I remember it had two floors, and we would go, and I liked going to it. I remember, sometimes, it was a little tedious when my mom was trying on clothes or looking at pantyhose or bras, and I'd just be like, oh, let's go to the toys and, stuff. And I wasn't a whiny kid unless I really, really didn't want to be there. I was more of a, I'll find some interest somewhere, if I put a bra on my head or something like that, and my mom would just be like, would you knock it off? Or, if my. I don't remember this story, but I remember my mom telling me a story, and it probably wasn't even in Kresge's, but I remember that she vowed never to take us shopping again. Of course she did, but I remember, I believe it was me or my brother actually opened up one of those fire doors where the alarm went off, and my mother was just like, that's it, I'm never taking you boys shopping again. And I remember another time. I don't particularly remember this one, but I love telling the story. And I just think for my brother Paul, we'll put this in the history books. Apparently, there was a my mother had just like my brother was walking around, and they used to have these three mirrors in a row where you could just like check what you're wearing, and they just kind of look like Enter the Dragon, And I remember my brother Paul, or I don't remember. I remember the story being told by my family. I can't say I was actually there for it. I might have been, but I was probably really young. Anyhow, he was making faces in the mirror, and my mother was just fine. He was being quiet. He didn't care. Then he heard these ladies talk, seeing the little boy, and talking about, oh my God, it must be so hard having a handicapped child. Like, he's making faces in the mirror, and they actually thought he was. Well, back in the day we called it retarded, but that's not politically correct right now. They actually thought he was handicapped. My mother was so embarrassed because back then people were worried about what you thought of him, and she just grabbed his hand and said, that's it, I'm never taking you shopping again. Most of the times, my mother loved going shopping with us. Kresge's was easy to get to. Sometimes we just literally go to Kresge's because I remember going, meeting my father. He worked in Jackson Square at the Royal Insurance, and I remember we'd meet him, and sometimes we'd come home with him, and sometimes we'd just like meet him. But most of the times we'd just go to Kresge's, and it was nice. It was just kind of like, we just shop around and stuff. I remember they used to have this candy counter, and one of my favorite things is my mom, and whether we were there or whether she just surprised us, because she worked downtown part-time cleaning at Terminal Towers back in the day, and she would bring they'd have like Kit Kat bars in bulk, but they were all broken pieces and stuff. So you'd get like broken and you could buy it really cheap. And she used to bring those. And I don't know what it was, but they always seem to taste better. Maybe it's just a you thing, but I eat Kit Kat now and I think, oh, that's good. I like that. But I remember getting these big pieces, like, because you'd get big chunks sometimes, but they were like maybe smashed diagonal or something. And I remember just how good they tasted. And I just always thought they tasted better. They were almost like the reject Kit Kat bars. And I've never seen them again. Like, it was the only place that I ever saw that sold, broken Kit Kat bars, and I loved it. But a lot of times when the bus for our house, the Cannon bus, was right outside there and you could wait, and it was quite nice. And a lot of times we'd wait for the bus and we'd, because sometimes the Cannon bus took forever to get there, sometimes every half hour, sometimes even longer. And my mother and I would go and grab a snack, and right by where the bus was, they had like an old-fashioned like cafeteria counter. And I remember sitting there, and my mom and I would have a milkshake. And if we hadn't eaten, sometimes we'd have a grilled cheese sandwich. And it was just nice. I remember my mom and I would talk, and it was just nice. I remember those moments. Well, I don't even remember everything we ever talked about, but I just know having a warm feeling inside and having a grilled cheese sandwich and, drinking my chocolate milkshake, and everything was right in the world. I also remember they had a talking minor bird downstairs. Oh, I can't remember his name, but everybody would go see him and he would talk and he'd be like, "Pretty boy, pretty boy," and very clear. He was the first talking parrot I ever met, and we always went to go see him. I can't remember his name. I want to say Waldo, but that just seems. But I've mentioned it a couple times to people, and I'm amazed when they go, "Yeah, they had the talking bird." I wonder what happened to that talking bird, because it's probably still alive, because birds have ridiculous amounts of time. But he would always, "That pretty boy, pretty boy." And sometimes it's funny, because sometimes we were like in the next department, and you could still hear him clear as a bell, like, "Pretty boy, pretty boy." And that's all I remember him saying. But it was so clear as a bell, and I always remember it as a kid. I loved it, and I always had to go, if I was downtown with my friends or something after, when I got older and I didn't want to hang out with my parents, which, stupid, stupid move on. You should always, it's great to hang out with your friends, but always make time for your parents. But I went through that weird phase where it's like, "Oh, Mom, I want to go with my friends. I don't want to go with you anymore." And then one day you have a podcast and your memory, you're going down memory lane about how amazing it was to spend time with your parents. But I, even as a kid, I'd show my friends, "Hey, you got to see the talking bird." And everybody knows the talking bird here. And, "Pretty boy." And so clear and like just a small little blackbird. And he just had the clearest, crisp voice. And it was great. A lot of people thought it was just some weird man going, "Pretty boy." You can tell I like doing that. Anyhow, I even remember Kresge's when it started, they started liquidating. And I don't think it was, I don't remember it called liquidating. They just said, "We're going to close." And I remember they had a lot of stuff on sale. I don't remember buying a lot of stuff. I used to get a little toy sometimes if I was good. Nothing extravagant, just like maybe a little action figure or a little plastic, farm animals or soldiers or something. But it was just such a great memory. And I've been meaning to talk about it for a while. And then I get on to rants or I talk about, what's not right in the world or things that piss me off. And I forget that I also wanted to create this station to remember stuff like that. I'm the Mondo Nostalgia guy. And so, I'm smiling right now because I'm thinking about my mom. And okay, my smile just went to a happy crying, but that's par for course. Anybody who's listened to even one of my 130 episodes knows that sometimes the waterworks are going to come on Mr. Devlin's show, and I'm not going to ever hide my tears, because they're good. And as an older guy, they come a little more often now for good things, bad things, but I cherish them. Just as I cherish my moments at Kresge's, and I hope a nice building comes in there. And I my only hope is that there's another building there that gives people, whether it's an apartment building, whether it's another store complex, whether it's a bar, I hope it's a place that brings people memories. Because the building that was there before gave people a lot of memories. Kresge's was one of the most loved stores. And yeah, I remember a lot of people being sad when it finally came to its end. But man, yeah, I just hope the new building brings people memories. Because I fear, and this is just an old guy thing, I fear that a lot of young people have weird kind of senses of nostalgia. And they might be weird to me, but they're probably not weird to them. But I kind of wish they had some of my memories, as in remembering what the world was like before the internet or before, video games consumed us or binge watching dominated our life and we didn't get to cherish a television show, where we got to experience quality movies and not watch them on a streaming service or a pirated copy. And then putting the movie down, even though you just watched it on a shitty copy and didn't really get to enjoy it, probably were on the phone every 5 minutes and then put down this movie and everybody thinks, oh, it must be a bad movie if he hated it. It's like, why? He didn't even pay attention to it. Anyhow, yes, I'm in one of those, it's a beautiful world and I look for the beauty in it because you have to. I had a wonderful time talking today. I hope you enjoyed it too, and I look forward to seeing you very, very, very soon. I'll talk to you soon.